Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is the Insurgent Radio Network, and this is Terrible Tommy in the heartland, in the bunker, right next to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern, where the elite meet to drink and sometimes eat, right behind our weapons of mass destruction used equipment yard out here. Yeah, we're expecting some more in here. Now that the weather's cleared, we got a few semis lined up over here bringing them in, some of them from Russia, some of them from Yugoslavia, and some of them from, they're coming in from all over the place. So we're going to have to get busy on, sand them down, put that old camo paint on them, and get them ready for spring when we'll be having our big sales out here. And you can bring the kiddies out on the weekend and ride the donkey, yeah, or the elephant, or we might even have a giraffe. How about that? Write us at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. And make your mail to Tom Metzger or the Insurgent or just to box holder, however you want to do it. And when you send us your dues and payment for orders and things like that, just make your checks, money orders, and so forth out to the Insurgent or Tom Metzger. Or to cash, however the hell you want to do it. You got, if you're over there in the deepest, darkest country in Africa, like we used Central African Republic, we used to have a subscriber. I hope he didn't get eat up by the niggers. But he used to, for years, he was a subscriber. Or she, I don't know. I don't know. But anyhow, so you can send that funny money in here and, as long as it's not too funny, we can catch it. Right, yeah. And then you call us on the phone at 574-267-5036. I've opened the floodgates again, boys and girls. You can leave a message on there. But what I'd like for you to do is leave messages on there that we can play on the radio. And tell me what you're thinking. And don't just, and here again, don't give me all this negative crap. You know, the niggers are taking over my neighborhood and I don't know what to do. Will you come out here and hurt them for me? No. I'm not a hired gun. I remember one time a guy called me from Long Beach. I think it was Long Beach, California. Up in there somewhere. And I think it was back when I was still in the Klan. And his daughter had been taken away or hurt or something by Negroes, and as usual, and he wanted me to help him do something about it. I said, well, what have you done? Well, I you know, the police know about it and like that, and I haven't done nothing. Well, it's your daughter, right? And I said, how old are you? And he said, you know, like 35 or 40. I said, well, where's your balls, man? Take care of the... I said, do you know who these Negroes are? These savages? He said, yeah. I said, well, it's your responsibility to take care of it. And what I want you to do for me. He said, I'll even send you $25 and join the Klan if you'll do it. And I said, you know, you're not never going to get a hit, man, for $25. You're not going to get a hitman for $2,500 unless he's a moron. I remember there was a time in Long Beach, California, where the going rate was about $500 in a sleazy bar, but every other guy that you were asking to do a hit for you was a cop. That didn't work out too well. Most of the people did their plan to bump off their wife or husband down there got caught. Anyhow, that's the trouble with some of these people. They want a revolution, but they don't want a revolt. Yeah, everybody says, we got to do this, we got to do that. I say, you got a goddamn mouse in your pocket? I mean, you can start your revolution any day you want. I mean, I could have started mine yesterday. You know, we had a famous visitor to Elkhart, but I didn't go because I don't think it's worth it. And it cost too much gas to see that son of a bitch. But I'll bet you they had that place covered. I'll bet you they, well, their security is bullshit, really. But anybody who knows security knows that, there's a movie I watched last night. I'd recommend this one with Nicolas Cage. Bangkok something. Bangkok. You guys have probably seen it. But anyhow, in the movie, he's a hitman. And he's a pretty good hitman, you know. But at one place, he said, it's easy to kill politicians and leaders because they brought him over to Bangkok to knock off some competition for some gambling interests or whatever. But then they wanted him to knock off this famous politician, which was a pretty well-liked guy. And he said to his protege, he said, look, anybody can kill a politician. It's just getting away with it is the problem. Yeah. Am I getting senile, or did I tell you this joke or not? That's a guy coming across the border, and they stopped him, and they checked him, and said, are you an American citizen? He said, yeah, but I lost my wallet. Well, we can't let you in then, boy. And he said, do you have any proof that you're an American citizen? He said, yeah, I sure do. What's that? He says, well, I got a picture of Bill Clinton tattooed on one cheek of my ass, and I got a tattoo of Hillary Clinton tattooed on the other side of my ass. And the guy says, oh, well, that's different. Well, you go on your way. Go on back to Chicago. He said, wait a minute. What makes you think I'm from Chicago? He said, because of Obama's picture in between Bill and Hillary's. I might have told you yesterday. Hell, I don't know. I can't remember anything anymore. And that's what the feds fear worse. Old guys who can't remember shit. I'm sort of like what Henry Ford said. They were trying to prove that Henry Ford was not mentally fit to continue running his Ford company. And it was quite a deal. And they finally got Henry Ford into court to testify. And the opposition attorney said, what do you know about this? And what do you know about that? And all this technical stuff. And stuff that Ford evidently wasn't that quite understanding. And he said, look, young man. He said, I've got 25 buttons on my desk here. They're all hooked to different offices in this plant. And when I have something that I don't know the answer to, I could push any one of those buttons and get the top experts in the country. So I don't need to carry around a lot of extraneous information in my brain. Well, that's sort of the way Tommy is, you know. I have lots of associates and friends and well-read people and educated people. Yeah, believe it. And when I need something or don't know something, I just get on that phone and say, hey, or on the email and say, what was that guy's name? And believe me, they tell me. Yeah. Maybe, usually I get four or five telling me. Well, interesting news I heard today that China's growth has been going up 8% every 10 years for 20 years. And I thought to myself, well, that's exactly how U.S. growth has been dropping for 20 years. So if you get the point there, I mean, who's your enemy, boys? You don't have enemies in Iraq. You don't have enemies in Saudi Arabia. You don't have enemies in Russia. You don't even have enemies in Nigger Africa. Your enemies are usually as white as the driven snow, and they're right here in the United States, and they're right in the La Cesspool Grande, the worst enemies that man could ever have. Especially the white man is right there with these sellout white pasty-faced bastards in La Cesspool Grande. Republican, Democrat, don't make a damn bit of difference, you know that. I get so sick and tired of turning on the radio and hearing, well, they did this and they ain't cooperating. And if they cooperated, everything would be wonderful. And then the other side come back, well, no, you're lying, son of a bitch. You know, and they can't get anything done right, you know, so... They're going to throw the country into another couple of $1 trillion in debt. And what makes a difference anymore, huh? Because this empire is going to crash anyhow. So it don't make any difference. They're talking trillions, and pretty soon, what's next after 12 trillions? Jeez, we got, you know, it used to be a big deal to be a millionaire, and then it got to be a big deal to be a billionaire. And now as we're getting into trillions, and what's after that? Quad trillions or bi-trillions? Or what the hell, man? I don't have that many fingers. Boy, you just can't win. You just can't win, man. I see that there's a study about twins' faces and finding a surprising effect of weight on one's perceived age. They said it's okay to put on some weight because they say it makes you look younger because it keeps the skin tight or something. I just have a problem with that because some of these two-ton tillies I see walking around, they may have nice skin on the face. And maybe they don't have too many wrinkles, but wow, man. Wow. I told you yesterday that Obama was coming over here to Elkhart, Indiana. They said on the radio it was only 1,700 people in Elkhart. Well, I think they misspoke. It's probably 17,000 people in, but it's the center of this recreation and vehicle stuff, you know. And they laid off thousands around the Midwest here this last year. He's out there telling them, if they just go along with his stuff, man, you're gonna be okay. And everybody said, whoopee, 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 the Messiah has come. Brother. I was listening to radio last night. I like to listen in the wee hours to that Coast to Coast thing. Yeah, it's a very popular show. And, well, you know, you can tune on one night and get something that's really good and very important and very, very to the point. But the next night, oh, brother. Well, the wee hours of the morning, there's some broad on there is making some money writing books. And she's talking about the Shroud of Turin, if you haven't heard about it. It's supposed to have been, they allege that they wrapped Jesus up in this thing after he was crucified. And then I guess they took the body out and all the markings were there and made like a negative of a picture of him, his whole body, and there's supposedly blood on there and all that kind of stuff. Well, now, get this now. All you people are looking for the Antichrist. Well, she said they took blood samples off of this shroud and they've analyzed them, and now they've there's some laboratory someplace has what do you call it? Like Dolly the sheep, going to make another Jesus. Yeah, they're going to make another Jesus. So they took that part of that DNA, and they did back in the 70s, and there was a person born, and but he don't have the soul, they said, and he's going to be the... I can hardly tell you this without breaking down. He's going to be the Antichrist. He's going to stand in the temple in Jerusalem, yeah, and proclaim himself to be God. Well, if he got long hair like a hippie and walks around in dirty sandals and an old bed sheet over him, I guess maybe he will look like what they say Jesus looked like. Well, anyhow, they went further now. Who is the Antichrist? The Antichrist now is about 20 years old or so. And I got my ear right up to the radio and I said, Jesus, boy, this is really something. And they said, well, she said, Prince William is the Antichrist of the British big shots there. And so I said, wow, I thought it would be the other one because he was the one that wore the swastika and went to a party and said some racist jokes here not too long ago. I forget his name. But it's going to be William. And supposedly, Prince Diana knew about all this. She knew that there was the Antichrist insider. And she called him always Wills, this woman said. And so somehow connected to King Arthur or some shit. By the time I listened to some of this stuff, I was rolling out of the bed. I mean, you know, it's nice to get up with a smile on your face, but this is an example of how absolutely, oh yes, it's all going to come down to the end at 2012 by the Mayan calendar. Now, there may be a lot of things happen. I mean, everybody's saying everything's going to happen on 2012. And it may. But let me tell you something. Everybody worried about the end of the world? Well, the end of the world is when you die, baby. It's the end of your world. When you die, it's the end of the world. Lights out, baby. So anyhow, now they're going to have us all sitting around fretting about 2012. Well, what can you do about it? They say there's going to be a cataclysmic thing and the sun's going to fall from there. And what can you do about it? What can you do about it? Well, what you can do about it is sit on your ass and pray and all that bullshit and not work for your salvation of your race. But to see that your race goes on, you know. But religious fanaticism knows no bounds. Their mythology knows no bounds. People, the mental asylums are just chock full of people who think they're Napoleon and Jesus. Well, anyhow, that was something else, man. That happened. I listened to this broad go on for about an hour or so, and I couldn't believe that the guy that runs the show wasn't laughing. I mean, he handles everybody, whether they're very intelligent or whether they're kook or nuts or been on rides in spaceships and all that. He handles them all the same way. I got to give him credit. He treats them with respect and asks them reasonable questions. So, anyhow, that's just my little side issue there, that so you know now who the Antichrist. How could you be an Antichrist if there was no Christ? Nobody's answered that. But I'm going to be waiting to see what William's up to. I'm going to watch that boy real close, man. I always did wonder about him. For one reason, I watch him carefully, because he likes girls. And we know Jesus didn't run around with girls. He had 12 strapping, good-looking guys following him around. Well, let's get serious here, boys and girls. I see the China vehicle sales topped the U.S.'s for the first time in history last month. Now, here's a bunch of people that just a few years ago couldn't even build a car. Now they're building more cars than we are. As economic growth, price cuts, and government support tempered declines in demand caused by rising job losses. January auto sales in China totaled 735,500 in 1 month. I think every Chinaman should have a Cadillac. I mean, not the new little ones. I mean, I think every Chinaman should have a big 1959 Cadillac. Mm-hmm. That'd solve our problem real quick. They couldn't get shit done. They couldn't move. The whole country would be bumper to bumper. They couldn't get to work, couldn't get to the factory, and then the business would have to come back here. Anyhow, they said that's a 14% drop. The China Association of Automobile Manufacturers said in an emailed statement today that compares with a 37% plunge to 656,693 in the U.S., the world's largest auto market last year. China vehicle sales have surged fivefold over the past decade as export fueled economic growth. In other words, corporations fucking a white working guy. Above 10% made General Motors Corporation and Volkswagen AG cars affordable to more people. This year, demand has fallen less than in the U.S., as a $4 trillion, see, they're up into the trillions over in China, too. They don't want to get behind us. 4 trillion yuan, Y-U-A-N, that's their money, that's equal 485 billion stimulus package helps the country avoid the worst of the global recession. See, they're doing the same thing. Obama must got the idea from the chinks. Yeah. Well, I told you months ago, maybe a couple of years ago, that China was building the largest vehicle manufacturing plant in the world, and they intended to take over the entire world. Well, let me tell you something. China's got big problems, and they're not talking much about it, but everything they got going now is just based on building crappy crap for morons in the U.S. and so forth. They got water problems. They got tremendous environmental problems. They got a problem with a nation full of boys and not enough girls. And the neighboring countries around China, the girls are sort of, and the fathers are sort of starting to say, hey, wait a minute. We better watch out. The goddamn chinks are coming across the border to get you. And they are interested. And so there'll be a lot more male chinks coming to the United States. Yeah. And you see more and more white girls marrying Chinamen. Because a lot of times they got a good job, maybe an engineer or something like that. And you know, a good share of women go for where the gold's at. And security, that's the nature. But also China's going to be looking for more water. They're running out of water, just like we're running out of water. And they're going to be looking up there towards India, the borders of India, up in those mountains for more water. So we may see some clashes between China and India before too long. Yep. That reminds me of another thing I told you people quite some time ago, that I read someplace in the stats where, and I'm not exactly sure of my figures, but I was amazed. They said it took 50,000 gallons of water to produce one automobile. Now, you guys at all my brain trust out there, check that out, because I swear that's what I heard. It was, or read, just a couple of years ago. And if that's the case, and China's going to want to be building cars for the world, more cars than anybody else, they're really going to be having water problems. And then the people are getting sick and dying and getting all kinds of crap from the crap they throw in the water now. So all is not sweet in China. Well, I see one of our contributors commented on a story about in NAV about the leaving prisoners go because they don't have enough room to house all these prisoners. It said 57,000 prisoners to be freed are probably 95% mestizo or mud. He says we need to export these illegals back across the border and the rest of Africa. This will save taxpayers' money and white families' lives. Well, that's not going to happen. Something has to be done to make it painful that they go back to Mexico and so forth. Going back to Africa is a different situation. That is going to take quite a program, and of course it could have easily been done back at the time at the end of the Civil War, and that's what they talked about. Even raised money for it, but they didn't do it. But anyhow, these Mexicans, some will go back because they made enough money to buy a small place in Mexico, and they love Mexico. And some will go back because of their families back there, and the family don't want to come up here. And some will go back because of lack of work and like that. But the majority that are in here are going to stay here, and you're going to have to root them out the only way that you ever can root people out. Once they, you know, you get you out in the middle of your yard, you got a real beautiful yard, and all of a sudden you got some little crabgrass right in the middle of that pretty golf course yard. Well, I don't think anybody's ever got down on the ground and whispered, "Hey, Mr. Crabgrass, would you leave here? Because I've got a nice golf course looking yard here. I mow it very carefully. And what would you please leave. It's nothing personal, you know. No, I never saw that happen. I saw people go out and rip the goddamn stuff out of the ground or dump poison on it or whatever. And once things get too bad, that crabgrass is affecting the whole yard, you got to get serious. You got to get serious. You got to poison them. You got to pull them out by the roots. You got to dig up their ground and throw all that shit away and put new earth in there and new seed and a whole bit. The same way with people. It's the same way with people. So you got a job ahead of you. Either that or start speaking more Spanish. I see the order. It's the main article here. California judge orders massive prisoner release. I hate to be in California right now when all those bastards come out those gates. Sacramento, California. Special panel of federal judges. That's that Ninth Circuit. They are total Marxists. They are so Marxist, it's unbelievable, that Ninth Circuit Court. A special panel of federal agents, or judges, tentatively ruled Monday that California must release tens of thousands of inmates to relieve overcrowding. The judge said no other solution will improve conditions so poor that inmates die regularly of suicides or lack of proper care. Well, that'll bring prison riots, and that's good. Yeah, it's not good for everybody, but the panel said it wanted the state to present a plan to trim the population in 2 to 3 years. Quote, there are simply too many prisoners for the existing capacity, they wrote. Well, if you quit putting everybody in prison for smoking pot and things like that, you wouldn't have these problems, you know. A giant percentage of these people are in there on minor drug offenses. Let them take dope if they want it, you know. If they die, they die. Evidence offered at trial was overwhelming to the effect that overcrowding is the primary cause of the unconstitutional conditions that have been found to exist in California prisons. Well, there's no constitution going on in the prisons. And anybody that's been in there knows the brutality of the guards and so forth knows that. The three judges suggested a target prison population of between 100,800 and 121,000 inmates, down from the current level of about 158,000. More inmates live in conservation camps, community correctional facilities, and private prisons in other states. Well, conservation camps, they can escape those very easily. The proposed targets would require the state to reduce the prison population by between 36,200 and 57,000 inmates. Attorneys representing inmates had sought a reduction of about 52,000 inmates. Well, I think these attorneys that are representing those boys ought to have all those niggers come over and live in their backyard, you know. The hell, the general public is going to really get raked on this one. Going to get raked bad. Rapes, robberies, kidnappings, going to go up just as the economy goes down. Well, I found a Klansman here, an old-time Klansman, I guess, that evidently been washed in the blood of the Jesus. And he's apologizing to the black man who was congressman or something. John Lewis, Congressman John Lewis, and I guess they jumped him in South Carolina at a bus stop back in the day, and protecting and trying to run defense for the South, right? Yeah. Well, they got together, and of course, it's the same old thing. Everybody likes somebody. Will you forgive me, Mr. Nigger Man? Come on, please forgive me. I'm just a lowly white boy, and I need to do this so Jesus will love me.
Who at the time was traveling this country championing civil rights. The man who attacked him, Elwin Wilson, says he's been carrying around an apology in his heart and has been waiting for an opportunity to get it off his chest. And he did. Here they are, Representative John Lewis and Elwin Wilson, a former KKK member. Nearly a half century has passed since that attack. And John Lewis says, all is forgiven. I spoke with both of them tonight, not long ago, and Representative Lewis talked about that. It was a brutally honest conversation between the two of them. Take a listen. Pay attention.
Okay.
Mr. Wilson, I know you've spoken to the congressman recently, but is there anything else you'd like to say to him?
Fuck him.
I've thought about him a lot since I left Washington. And I found out what kind of man he was. And I enjoyed the trip up there, and I didn't think I'd ever see the day when I'd find out who I beat up at the bus station in Rock Hill. And it started off with, they had picture of, they call them the City Sisters in Rock Hill that went to Friendship College.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had the Friendship Nine that went to college there. And when I saw the sisters, I'd already tried and did change my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about spiritually and everything.
I'm going to continue on and let you talk in a little bit, but I just, before we go forward, I want to get Congressman Lewis's response. What do you say to him after, I mean, you were beaten up, hurt pretty bad, lots of other folks, some people even lost their lives because of the actions of men like Elwin.
Yeah.
And Mr. Wilson, what do you say to him?
Well, I said to Mr. Wilson, when I met with him early during the week when he came to Washington to visit with me, and he said he wanted to apologize and that he was sorry. And I said, I forgive you. And I don't have any bitterness or hatred, because it was in keeping with what we believed in, that we should have the capacity and the ability to forgive, that love is much stronger than hate. And it was very moving and very touching for me for him to come to Washington and say, I'm sorry for what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Wilson, in almost 50 years, been the only and the first person, the first and only person who attacked me and that said, I'm sorry.
And Congressman, I don't even know if you know this. I spoke with Mr. Wilson earlier today by telephone, and he was a little reticent on the phone to even answer. And when I told him who I was, he talked to me. But Mr. Wilson, tell him about some disturbing phone calls that you have been getting.
Uh-oh.
Well, I got one phone call
from
a boy from Rutgers College, and the telephone rang. I answered it. He said, is this Elwin Wilson? I said, you're right. He said, you are slummy, black, in dog. And he just kept on talking. He told me, said, here you are with KKK, took an oath, and here you are, gone back on your word, and against the white people.
You were outraged by that phone call, and you said you had to call the police. Can you believe, Mr. Wilson, you know, 2009, some 50 years after that confrontation that you had with Mr. With the congressman, that there's still that sort of hate in the world?
Oh, no.
Not as much as it used to be.
No.
I don't think.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry that someone would do something like that to you, Mr. Wilson, that someone would call and use those words, and it is sad. But what you are doing, I think, is right. And it's very much in keeping with what we all believe in.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Wilson, do you have the people are watching? What do you want them to know about why you did it and about what we should be doing or how we should be treating the topic of race right now in this country?
Well, I'd like to put another, add something to what we were talking about, the guy that called me.
Yeah.
He I don't know why he would be like that, because just like I told him, I said, one day I hope that you get the hatred out of yourself, and I am, he said, well, why did you change? I said, well, I said, my daddy always told me that a fool never changes his mind, and a smart man changes his mind.
Okay.
And that's what I've done. And I'm not ashamed of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not trying to be a Martin Luther King or something like that. It all started off with Andrew Dye in the local newspaper, and snowballed.
Well, there you got it. From a white man, it sounds as dumb as the nigger. This guy is... I'm going to apologize for beating the shit out of you, Rassett. 50 years ago. Felt good back then, though. Hell, I'd run out of tape before that guy could even read the newspaper. Well, General Motors Corporation, the largest U.S. automaker, will cut 10,000 salaried jobs globally and reduce pay for other U.S. white-collar workers by as much as 10% to slash costs and keep $13.4 billion in government loans. About 3,400 of GM's 29,500 U.S. salaried jobs will be cut by May 1st, the company said. See, there you go. The guy on the line, guy down on the line, loses his job, and before too long, it gets right up to the white-collar boys. The Detroit-based automaker said in a statement, it will cut pay temporarily by 10% for U.S. executives and by 3% to 7% for many other U.S. salaried employees. GM is reviewing salaried worker pay and the benefits in other countries. Well, there you go. There you go. They've moved so much of their operation all over the world. I mean, you know, I'm glad it's coming home to rest, but I'm sure not happy it's coming home to rest on the white working man. But unfortunately, he's going to have to learn, because he won't support us. And so we got to wait till his mind gets right. We got to get his mind right.
We've got here is failure to communicate.
What? What'd you say? Will you say that again?
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
I think you're right. I think you're right. Now you can go back on over to Terrible Tommy's Tavern and have a drink on the house. How about that? Cool hand, Lukey. Boy, these guys are real behind time. They're really behind time. You remember me? Hell, it's been, I think, years ago or a long time telling you that, I don't understand why the Al-Qaeda and people like that wouldn't be setting fires to as a weapon. It's so easy to do, you know, out in California and all these places where it's drier than hell. Look at Australia now. I said, if they were around, you'd think that'd be a main weapon, you know? Wouldn't have to, all it takes is a match. Well, here's the news today. They finally, they need Tommy as an advisor.
And I would tell them the right way to do things, but they would have to pay me a lot of money.
Anyhow, U.S. officials monitoring terrorist websites have discovered a call for using forest fires as weapons against crusader nations. You know, that's whites, basically. And what may explain some recent wildfires in places like Southern California and Greece. The statement in Arabic said that summer has begun, so do not forget the forest jihad, unquote. The writer called on all Muslims in the United States, Europe, Russia, and Australia to start forest fires. A terrorist website was discovered recently that carried a posting that called for forest jihad. The posting was listed on the Internet on November 26th and reported to U.S. intelligence channels last week. Well, when did I say this? A year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago? I don't. Oh, man, there's a lot of stupid people out there. A lot of stupid people. But I don't know whether these jihad people got enough brains to figure all that kind of stuff out, you know, like throwing a flare out the window or something, you know. Well, anyhow, looks like they're doing it. It was always the wetbacks did it down in Southern California. Hell, they built camps in the bottoms of these canyons out there, and they'd get cold, and they'd start fires and kick the embers around, didn't put them out, and start fire. And then the fire would go up the hill, burn out the man's big house. The white man's big house up on top of the ridge, yeah. And so it's been all wetbacks, but maybe the wetbacks are teaching the jihad or something. Now they got another reason to have roadblocks and stop you. So the guy stops, the cop stops you, and you roll down the window. Are you looking to see if I'm drunk? No. You looking to see whether I'm I have marijuana? Nope. Are you looking to see whether? No, sir. Do you have any matches? Well, that's it for today. I hope you enjoyed the show. I enjoy doing it that way, sort of freewheeling and my warped sense of humor. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Woden's Day. Yeah, Woden's Day. He's a mean mother, that guy. 14 words and 5 words. Just had a guy tell me how he got saved by the bell, by the 5 words. I've had a lot of people tell me that. We'll see you. We'll play a little bit of bluegrass on the way out. For torturing me.
It's been raining in my house since my world.